And we're going to let our Nia do our statement of faith before we read our scripture.
This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
It is the word of truth.
It is the word of truth.
I am what it says I am.
I am what it says I am.
I can do what it says I can.
I can do what it says I can.
I'm a believer, not a doubter.
I'm a believer, not a doubter.
I'm a doer, not just a hearer.
I'm a doer, not just a hearer.
I'm humble before the Lord.
I'm humble before the Lord.
I'm obedient to the Lord.
I'm obedient to the Lord.
I'm mature in the Lord.
In the Lord.
I'm enthusiastic about the Lord.
I'm enthusiastic about the Lord.
I know that.
I know that.
Faith comes by hearing.
Faith comes by hearing.
And hearing by
hearing
the word of God.
The word of God.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Nia. Thank you, Tania. All right, y'all got it. Job 13:15. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Even so, I will defend my own ways before him. Hallelujah. You may have your seats in this place. I just want to give God glory and honor for the opportunity to be here on today. I want to give honor to my pastor, Pastor Bolden. Pastor, thank you so much for the opportunity to minister to your sheep. Pastor, I love you so much, man. I get choked up thinking about Pastor, because at any time you call Pastor, he's going to tell you the good, the bad, and the ugly. And I know he's probably scratching his head while he's on the other line of the phone. But that never deters him from telling you what the word says, if you're right or if you're wrong, and what you should try to do next. Amen? So, Pastor, I love you. I thank God for you. I want to give glory and honor to my pastor, my good thing, my sugar, my best friend. Jeremy, I love you. Love you so much. I thank God for you every day. When we take vows, it's easy to say the vows. But it's even more important for us to live by those vows. And my husband has lived through the vow of in sickness and in health. Never missed a moment. Even at my weakest moment, Jeremy was on the side saying, oh, no, no. You got to keep going. We're going to make it through this thing. We're going to do this. Why? It's okay sometimes. It is. But you got to have something on the inside that reminds you of who you are. And sometimes that's your significant other. Amen. It should be. It should be. To all the other pastors, ministers, deacons, the entire body, I speak blessings to you. And I thank you for being here. And I want to mention my children. I thank God for Geronte. I thank God for Warren, and I thank God for Jasmine. I thank God that he is equipping them to do exactly what he wants them to do in the kingdom. And right now, I may not even be able to see that thing being manifested, but I got enough faith to believe that when it's time for them to come in. See, I'm helping somebody. Marcus, I'm trying to lean because my voice. I will say this, and Geronte said he was coming, and he said he may be watching. When God gets a hold of you,
come on now.
Woo, woo. When God snatches your children, because we can do all that we can do, but it's not our job. Our job is to pray. So before I even get to my message, I want to encourage a parent that's waiting. I want to encourage a parent that's waiting. You're waiting and you're watching and you can't figure out what God is doing in your child's life. Wait and pray. I'm going to say it again. Wait and pray, because I still believe. I still believe that God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that I could ask or think or imagine in my children's life. I believe Warren has a purpose in the kingdom. I believe Jasmine has a purpose in the kingdom. I believe Tay has a purpose in the kingdom. And when God gets ready to bring them in, he will. He will. Now to this word. My title on today is It's Not Easy, But It's Necessary. It's not easy, but it's necessary. And my objective on today is just to encourage you. I know it's been hard. I know you've been sick with or without answers. I know you've been aggravated. I know you can't see what God is doing right now. I know you don't understand. I know you feel like you're at a breaking point. I know your kids acting funny. Your money is suspect. I know there's a lot of things going on.
Yes. Hallelujah. Come on.
But I came to admonish you to hold on.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Hold on. It's not easy,
yes,
but it's necessary. There is a purpose behind every trial that we go through in life. And when it happens to us, when it comes and it stands right in our face, we can't see what the purpose is. But that's why it's necessary for you to be praying, for you to be reading your word, for you to be trusting God. My grandma used to say, you ought to stay ready so you ain't got to get ready. Come on, come on. I'm talking about in the kingdom, y'all. I'm going to say that again. You ought to stay ready so you don't have to get ready. Because when the trial comes, it's too late for all of that trying to catch up. Come on. They ain't going to be real with you. Diagnosis came. And my husband prayed over me every single day. Lord, I come against diabetes. God, I come against, what you say, Jeremy, high blood pressure. I come against cancer. He would call out everything, and the diagnosis still came.
Uh-huh. Mm.
The diagnosis still came. And when the diagnosis initially came, you know, we were saying, hey, no, we don't receive it, blah, 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 blah. But when the guy said stage 3, the diagnosis became a reality. But there was something on the inside. There was something on the inside that said, God is bigger than this. So even though that's what he said, I heard what he said, I heard the words that he said, God is bigger than this. He's so much bigger than this. Why is it necessary for us to go through trials? What's the definition of necessary? The definition of necessary is an adjective. And I thought it was real important that I give you guys this definition. Necessary means that it's required. It's essential. It has to be done. How can tests and trials be necessary? I submit to you that it's in those times that God finds out if you operate in lip service or if you do as my grandma would also say, write checks that your butt can't cash. Hey. Playing Christian, playing to be a believer is a serious mistake. So in other words, you walking around, you know all the lingo. Mm-hmm. You can even quote a few scriptures. But can you handle the fire? Can you handle the test? It's not good to play with God. I'm just going to tell you up front. It's not good to play church. Because at the end of the day, when you're at home dealing with a trial, ain't none of these people that's sitting up in here gonna be there with you. It's gonna be you and God. And that's why it's essential that you get to know him. That's why it's essential that you know his voice. That's why it's essential that you know the purpose that he has for your life. Yes. Newsflash. We are not exempt from trials as Christians. Amen. I just came to tell y'all today. Just because you're a Christian does not mean that you're going to be exempt from trials. Why does God allow us to go through trials? He allows us to go through trials to see if we are living what we speak. Like I just said, it's okay to have lip service. Now, I have to admit, I'm not a big fan of Job. Not saying in a bad way. I'm just saying that story, the story is, what's the word I'm looking for? The story is so heart-wrenching. And during my health challenges, of course, my husband, who teaches Bible study so faithfully, decided to teach the book of Job. And I said to Jeremy, I said, what's going on? Why would you want to preach about Job? Don't you kind of know what we're dealing with right here? What's going on with you? Why would you even think about preaching about Job right now? And he said, the Lord laid it on my heart. I said, okay, God. But I needed it. Because it was during that study that I realized what I was going through was real, real, real small compared to what Job went through. I mean, Job suffered. Yeah. And what's encouraging about it is that he never lost faith in God. Right, his physical body, he lost a lot of things, and we're going to discuss just a few of those things. But my physical body was failing at that time. I was going through chemotherapy. I had lost my hair. My toenails and my fingernails were black. My tongue was black. I was hurting all over. I had no energy. But physically, that was the case. But my spirit was still strong. And I get goosebumps every time I think about this situation. I remember sitting on our couch at home. I was so sick. And for those of you who know me, y'all know I'm going to praise and worship. I don't care where I am in my life. I don't care what point it is. I don't care what's going on. At that time, I was so weak. And God said to me, get up. Get up and praise me, God. Me, why? Get up and praise me. Get up right now. I know you don't feel like it. I know you don't even have the energy to do it. But I want you to get up. I want you to stand up. I want you to put on some music. And I want you to walk around in this living room. And I got up. And I turned on the TV. And I don't know if Jeremy remembered this moment. He was in the kitchen. I turned on the television. And I began to sing. I trust in God. My Savior, the one who will never see, I think I hit a nerve right there. And I started singing it. And it was like wildfire. Jeremy said, praise him, babe. And he started singing with me. And Jasmine was in her room and she came out and she said, praise him, Ma. And the spirit of the Holy Ghost, oh Jesus, the spirit of the Holy Ghost began to move in the room, and the Holy Spirit revealed to me, you're going to make it out of this thing. to God. Woo, glory to God. The Holy Spirit began to reveal to me, just hold on, why? I'm coming. Just hold on. It's not easy right now, but it's necessary. Woo, Jesus. Woo, Jesus. I'm talking to somebody. Oh, Jesus. Wayne, at that moment, I didn't even know how it was going to be done. All I know is that it told me it was going to be done, and I had to run with that thing. I had to take that word, and I had to make up in my mind, sissy, that I was going to live. I'm talking to somebody. Your circumstances look one way. You even feel another way. But I came to tell you on today that we serve a God. We serve a God that can do all things. It's not easy, but it's necessary. It's not easy, but it's necessary. Mr. Charlie, it's not easy, but it's necessary. Yeah, Jesus. Ooh. I speak to your spirit in the name of Jesus, Mr. Charlie, that God will reignite that fire. My God. My God. It's not easy, but it's necessary. Two different kinds of trials. There are two different kinds of trials. One reason we can be in a trial is because we put ourselves in trial. From our own, it's our own sin and our own mistakes. When we step outside of the will of God. Ooh, Jesus. When we step outside of the will of God, we lose that hedge of protection. I'm trying to help somebody. When we step outside of the will of God, we lose that hedge of protection. We do. That's just being honest. I don't want to sugarcoat it for you. When God tells you to do something and you do the opposite, you step outside of his will. Why? We let temptation. Sometimes we even let peer pressure. Sometimes we even let what we think should happen take us outside of the will of God. And that's where some of our trials come from. Sometimes our trials come from the company we keep. Ooh, Jesus. I knew this one wasn't gonna get a lot of amens. Yeah, I knew this one wasn't. Oh, girl, that God told you to stop fooling with. Oh boy, that God told you to stop fooling with, and you still fooling with them. You'll mess around and find yourself in a trial based off of the company that you keep. I know y'all don't like that. I know y'all don't like that. I'm talking to my young people too. Because God gives you discernment as well. If God's telling you not to be around a person, you better listen. Because guess what? When you step outside of the will of God, what did I say you lose? You lose that protection. So, the sins, the company we keep, and then the last reason I wanted to address was because God wants us to experience something. And he wants to test us to make sure we're not just giving lip service. He wants to know if we are up for the job. He wants to know if he can trust us with his word. If he can trust us. So that's the third reason. But let me tell you about Job a little bit. I think Job kind of faced a little bit of all three of these things. And I'm going to paraphrase because I know we got to get to the park. The first thing I want to mention about Job is in the beginning, Job was an upright man. He was an upright man. Minister Lindsay, he was doing what God told him to do. He was walking according to the word of God. He was living the word of God. And Satan had to ask for permission to touch Job. So what did I just say? If you're outside of the will, you lose that hedge. But he was in the will of God, and that's why Satan had to ask God if he could touch Job. I'll tell you something. I'd rather be in the will with no friends. I'd rather be in the will with no money. I'd rather be in the will than outside of the will any day. Oh, Lord. Let me get back to my notes. I was going to say something, but I ain't going to say that. Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say it. Then we step outside of the will. And then we want to go back and say, God, why this happening to me? I'm going to say that again. You know what he told you. You know why he told you. You did it anyway, and then you want to go back again and ask him why when he told you from the beginning? Come on, y'all. Come on, y'all. Come on, y'all. Come on, Wayne. He told you not to do it from the jump, and you did it anyway. And then you want to go back crying. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. I'm going to just tell you the truth. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. You're getting what comes with being outside of or from under the hedge of protection. So first, Job is a righteous man. Satan has to ask God to touch Job. I believe I'm just as righteous as Job. I believe the enemy couldn't touch my body without God's permission. I'm telling y'all today, I don't believe that the enemy could touch my body without asking God first. I ain't saying I'm perfect, don't. But I do what he tells me to do. I try to live how he tells me to live. I try to walk according to the word of God. Satan could not touch my body without permission from God. There was a purpose for me going through this test and this trial. So, Job living a good life. Got all the money. Got a beautiful wife. Got kids. Finley, he top dog in the city of Uz.
Yeah, that's right.
He the top dog. Satan knew that. And he wanted to know if Job was just giving lip service or if Job truly believed and trusted in God. So the first thing he does is he takes his children and his money. Now all us mamas and us daddies too, but us mamas for sure. You mess with them kids. And all bets off, baby. All bets off. I'm telling you straight up. A mama can be across the room and hear her baby crying, and here she come. Dad is too. I ain't going to do y'all like that. But us mamas, we ferocious when it comes to our kids. They took Job's kids and all his possessions. And let me read it for you. He loses his children and all his possessions. But what does Job do? He stood up, tore his robe, shaved his head. He fell to the ground and worshiped. And guess what Job said? Job said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb.
Come on now.
And naked I will return." And this is the thing that got me. This is the scripture that got me. The Lord gave, and the Lord taketh away. But blessed be the name of the Lord. Let me tell you something right now. You got to be in a different place. Woo! You got to be rooted and grounded to say that thing when you just lost your children and all your money. And you still got the power in you. You still got something on the inside of you, Keisha, that makes you say, "Blessed be the name." Woo! Blessed be the name of the Lord, Minister Elaine. Blessed be the name of the Lord, Wayne. First trial. Second trial, he hit that body. Satan had to go back and say, "Man, hey, he did better than I thought, God." Satan had to go back to God again and say, "He did better than I thought, God. I dare you. Now, this time I'm telling you what I'm going to do. I'm going to hit him.
Come on, preacher."
And I bet you, God, he ain't going to make it. God said, "Go ahead. Go ahead." Woo! Oh. God said, "Go ahead and hit him. Go ahead and hit him with your best shot. Come on, I know Job. I know who Job is. I know what's on the inside of Job. Go ahead and hit him again." Mama Lee, he said, "Hit him again." He hit him with them balls. Sores all over his body. My God. Sore skin falling off the bone. Just ugly. Whew. But the thing that really messed me up about this part of it was Job was already suffering. He and his wife. Let me just read it because I'm going to get ahead of myself. Let me go back. Okay. So Job accepts all that's going on. And sitting in his mess, he's lost his children, he's lost his possessions. The person that you would think would have his back the most is his wife. I'm about to talk to y'all about the significance of the right mate. You got to have the right mate. I don't know, men, what y'all out there doing, what y'all looking for. But let me tell you right now, you need to get you a sister that's going to pray with you.
Come on now.
A sister that's going to be involved in the church with you. Come on, okay. There's nothing that pastor can go through that I ain't going to have his back 10 toes down in the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
Nothing. If he wrong in public, I'm going to pray for him, and I'm going to get him when he get home. I'm going to stand beside him. You know, I guess that was a little meme going around. That's my man. I'm going to stick beside him. Yeah. I ain't going to get him in public like that. I'm going to be praying for him while he up there. But when he get home, baby, I'm going to be like, "Now, you know you were dead wrong for that." I don't know what was going on with you. I don't even know why you said that, Pastor, but no, sir. It's important. Your mate is important. And not just is it important, Finley, it's essential. It ain't just a box checked. It's a life or death situation.
Come on now.
It's a life or death situation, baby.
Yeah.
Because when you are in the heat of the battle,
I need to have your back. We need to be fighting from both sides. So Jeremy back here, we back to back. And we spinning. Yeah, we back to back. Come on up here, babe. Let me demonstrate this thing. Come on. Don't my man look good today? Oh. We back to back. Okay? We back to back. Sometimes it's the posture you got to have as a couple.
Come on now.
It's okay to follow him, and that's what I should do. I'm just being honest. That's what I should do. I'm going to follow him. He's the head. But in the heat of the battle, I got to put my back to his back. Yeah. So he can see what's in front of us, and I can see what's behind us. And then as we spin, come this way, babe. Go around that way. Yeah. Spin like this. Come on, go in a circle. Come on. Yeah. We seeing things from all angles.
Yes.
We seeing things from all angles.
Hallelujah.
Go ahead.
Hallelujah.
Go ahead with your fine self. We seeing things from all angles, which means can't nothing slip up on us. Can't nothing creep up on us. And can't nothing divide us.
Ooh.
I'm going to say that again. Can't nothing creep up on us. Can't nothing sneak up on us. And can't nothing divide us. So your mate is important. In this moment, Job's wife told him he should curse God and die. I don't want no mate like that. I don't want no mate like that. Baby, she should have said, baby, God been good to you. I know you got them boils right now, but guess what he did before? I believe he's the same God that can heal you, baby.
Yes.
That's what I need to hear.
Yes.
So she told Job to curse God and die. My last point. Who's in your circle? Whew, my God. Because he lost his children, his possessions. And then he lost his health. And then here come them raggedy friends. Then here come them raggedy friends. Because that's exactly what they were. They were raggedy. Who's in your circle? I never forget, out of the blue, Candace and Keisha called me while I was going through chemo and radiation. I can't remember which one of y'all started it. But they said, we're going to do a Zoom call. Shell and Robin called me and said, why? We want to see your face. We got on Facebook, remember? We got on Facebook. That was the first one. That was right before the first treatment. I do believe, am I right, Robin? That was before the first treatment. And Robin and Shell said, why? We got to see your face before you go, before you start. Who's in your circle? Keisha, Candace, a whole bunch of other ladies got on a Zoom call. Keisha made her mama get on, and y'all know Keisha mama. Pray so hard, I was like, Lord, I don't even know how I'm going to go to the doctor in the morning. I'm up high in the spirit from Keisha mama. Can't even rest. Zoom call, who's in your circle?
Come on now. Yeah.
Because when it came up, a lot of people could have not just called.
That's right.
Pastor called, praying for you. Why? This going to be fine. Who's in your circle? But them raggedy jokers showed up with nothing but criticism,
yeah.
Nothing but judgment, nothing but accusations. So not only have you lost your children, not only have you lost your possessions, your wife done lost it, but now your friends, the ones that's with you when you're up.
Yeah.
The ones that's with you when you're up. This is how you can tell who your day ones are. It's when you're going through trials and tribulations. Who calls? Who answers the phone? Who prays for you? But the most important thing is they not going to always tell you that you're right. Ah, Jesus, help me, Lord. I need a friend that's going to say, why, you know that was dead wrong. You ain't right no way in that situation. I love you. And Adrian, good for that. But sissy. When Adrian say, but sissy, I know after the but, it's going to be some correction. But that's what I need, and that's what I like. Mama J, Papa J, they are two of the ones who are going to tell you, you won't even know you being corrected, really. That Mama J so slick with it. She'll let you talk your own self out of what you thought you were going to do. And then she'll say, and now what are we going to do? Like, I really can't believe I just done talked myself out of what I was going to do before I called you. She ain't really said but two words, and then Papa J in the back, I love you. You mean I mess your own self up calling them? I'm telling you right now, don't call them. Who's in your circle? And then I'm wrapping this thing up because my time say 10 minutes. But listen, they did cry with them. They cried with them. They tore the robes and they sprinkled dust on their head. And they sat there in silence for 7 days. But after them 7 days, they begin to give him a series of speeches. Most of them filled with inaccuracies. Telling Job that he had sinned when Job knew he hadn't done nothing wrong. They didn't even believe him. What kind of circle you in if your friends don't believe you? They trying to encourage Job to admit his wrong and to repent. In all that that was happening, trials come to show us who our real friends are. They do. That's one of the rewards of going through a trial. I think that's a reward. Because my grandma said, you know who not dead weight. I don't need nobody. I got to try to carry me and carry you too. I don't need somebody that I got to try to carry myself and carry you too. You just a dead weight friend. Y'all, we all got them. We just won't cut them loose. But let me tell you something. A dead weight friend will take you down. They will take you down because they're draining. They not feeling nothing back up. They just draining. All right, y'all better get rid of them dead weight friends. So, in all that was happening to Job, Job had a flashback. This is what I believe. In all that was happening to Job, I believe Job at some point said, man, I'm tired of this. I know who the God I serve is. And that's where our key scripture comes from. Because at this moment, Job remembered who God was. He remembered who God was. And in order for Job to stand, Job had to declare, though he slay me. I know I ain't did nothing wrong. I know I've walked upright before him, Minister Lindsay. I know I've gone where he told me to go. I know I've done what he told me to do. At this moment, Job remembered who I was and who he was in Christ. And he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And I want to read this part because I added a lot of stuff in it. It says, Job made this statement when he was in a terrible time. Have you ever been in a terrible time? He had lost all of his children, all of his wealth, all of his health, and his friends were of no help. His wife offered him no support and, in fact, was telling him to give up. Job had to dig deep. Oh, God. Job had to go back and get every scripture he had ever read. Every time he saw God move, he had to go back and remember that thing. Every time God stepped in clutch, he had to go back and he had to remember that. He had to pull all of that out in order for him to continue to stand. He said, I'm still going to trust in God. Job realized that ultimately the suffering he is enduring was allowed by God. Sometimes you can't see it. You can't see why, Minister Gollum. You can't see why you're in a place where you're being tested and you're being tried. But what you do need to remember is whose you are.
That's right. Ooh.
You got to remember that. You got to remember whose you are. And like I said, if you're walking in his will and not outside of the will, you got to know there's a purpose for this trial. So let me end with some of the purposes. Job realizes that his pain was not permanent. This suffering that he was enduring was temporary, but the gift of God was eternal life. He knew that after this life, even if he hadn't made it through, that he was going to live again. Jesus Christ. Job appears to also challenge God. Now, you're going to ask God. Because you don't understand, Fabe. I didn't understand. You're going to ask him, but be prepared for the answer.
That's right.
Hey, you can ask, but be prepared for the answer. So these are some of the things, some of the reasons why trials are necessary. God got to get glory.
Yeah.
Woo. Woo. Oh, my God, Keisha. God got to get glory. And the only way he can get glory is by you testifying about what he brought you through. God got to get glory. God has to teach us that persistence is key. That's why trials come too. To see if you're going to be persistent in your pursuit of him. Are you going to stop when the trials come? It's all good when everything's going well. But will you still continue to follow him, Marvin, when things are on the, I don't know what's going on. I can't see you nowhere, God. He has to humble us sometimes. That's why trials come. He wants to humble us sometimes. Sometimes we got all that money. We got all them clothes, all them shoes, got a nice car, and we arrogant. Ooh. Don't even want to holler speak to folks. Now, we know how to play the game in church. We come in here, oh, praise the Lord, blah, 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 blah. How you act in Walmart? How you act in Target? If I saw you in Walmart, well, some of y'all too high class. Target. If I saw you in Target, would you really stop and have a conversation with me? So sometimes we have to be humbled. Ooh, tight, but it's right. Maturity. Trials create maturity. Because you're not going to stay a baby Christian when you're going through a trial. You can't make it. Your prayer life got to go up, V. Hey, your reading the word got to go up. You in the middle of something and you desperate, baby, you going to mature real quick. Or either you going to be stuck. Which one you want? You want to mature or you want to be stuck? It builds our character.
It's a part of who we are. It builds us. It creates character in us, Miss Nora. It creates sustainability. We can sustain ourselves. That's what it does. That's what a trial does. If you go through it with God. Now, I got to add that. Now, if you're trying to go through it on your own, I don't know what you're going to get. Because I ain't doing that. And the last thing, it builds our faith. Ooh, glory to God. A trial will build your faith. Because at the end of the day, when you ain't got nothing else left, when you don't have anything else, guess what you got? You got God. When everybody else walks away during the trial, you got God. Though he slay me, even in the process of the trial, Job realized that all of his help comes from the Lord. All of it. All of it. Job didn't have anything left. But what I love about our God is he is a complete God. He ain't going to take nothing from you that he can't replace. He ain't going to take nothing from you that he cannot replace. And he's going to do it on a bigger level. He's going to do it on a bigger scale.
Hallelujah.
Baby, I got scared. I know we got kids in here. I got scared about, you know, mastectomy and stuff. Yeah, y'all ladies will catch it. But baby, what they gave me in replace, I thank the Lord. I thank the Lord. They took that fat down here. I'm trying to help y'all. They took that fat from down here. Hey. I got a mini tummy tuck in the process. So what I had. Them three babies worth the fat that I could never get rid of. Oh, thank you, Jesus. He ain't never gonna take something from you that he cannot replace. So in the middle of the trial, you ought to say, thank you, Jesus, because I know greater is coming. Thank you, Jesus, because I know greater is coming. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Woo. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. You ought to say, thank you, Jesus. I know greater is coming. Thank you, Jesus. I know better is coming. Jesus. And at the end of the day, Job's ladder was greater. Woo! I'm talking to somebody. I know you lost a lot. And I know that this journey has not been easy. It was necessary though, because your ladder will be greater. Oh God. Your ladder, it's going to be greater. Hallelujah. Your ladder, it will be greater. I almost forgot to do the appeals, but I'm just trying to encourage somebody. It's not easy, but it's necessary. It's not easy, but it's necessary. And if you don't take anything else away from this, I want you to take what I just said. He's never going to take something away from you and not give you something greater. That's just not the God that we serve. So if you lost that, he's going to give you something better. And for everybody that's kind of, listen, let me tell you something. Your ladder will be greater. It's a mindset, it's a mentality, and it's also a promise. It's
It's a promise. It's in the word, Keisha. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how young you are. But I'm definitely talking to the older people. I don't care how old you are. Your ladder can be greater. Amen. As long as God is in it. As long as God is in it. So every head bowed.